The World in Words is made possible in part by a major grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities, exploring the human endeavor.
Soundworks.
Soundworks.
From PRI.
Hi, it's Patrick Cox here with a question. How much can a public school be different from all the other schools around it? How much can it veer from the standard path? It may depend on what it specializes in.
If there's a school that's designed around fine arts, people applaud it, or around technology, or a medical magnet, people applaud it. But a school that's designed around indigenous language and culture is a little bit more difficult given the political landscape.
The political landscape in this particular case is Southern California, the Los Angeles Unified School District. Here's Deepa Fernandez of public radio station KPCC.
Last year, students at a Los Angeles high school practiced for their upcoming graduation.
I know, she's going to walk out.
It was like a graduation rehearsal at any other high school, except for this twist. The ceremony here featured a traditional Aztec dance performed by the principal and students. Yep, far from typical. Check out the kindergarten classroom where kids are greeting each other.
Panolte!
That's Nahuatl, one of Mexico's main indigenous languages. Kids learn in Spanish and English too. They also study Mayan numbers. In fact, this elementary school, commonly referred to as Semillas, is also connected to a high school. Their charters operating as one, and they represent one of the only indigenous-focused urban schools left in the United States. Marcos Aguilar is the school's principal and co-founder.
We're not visitors here. We've been here for millennia. We believe that our children should be able to receive an education that strengthens and fosters our culture, as well as educates them to deal with the economy and the politics of the world that they will grow up into.
The school is located in an LA neighborhood where nearly all of the residents have Mexican roots, and many of the students come from Nahuatl-speaking families. The school also gets results. Last year, every senior graduated, and 80% went on to a four-year college. Yet, last year, this tiny charter school nearly vanished. That's when Principal Aguilar and other Semillas leaders clashed with LA Unified, which oversees its charter license. In June, LA Unified's board voted against renewing the school's charter and shut it down. José Col Gutierrez heads up LA Unified's charter division. He questioned the viability of the indigenous school.
We had significant concerns about their ability to successfully implement the program due to the financial picture of the school, the significant decline in enrollment and the low numbers, also in terms of its academic achievement.
Both sides debated the particulars. The school did have a shortfall of $500,000, no small thing, but they also got a grant to cover it. And when it came to doubts over academic achievement, the school argued that others in the area had worse test scores and fewer seniors going to college. But none of this was enough for district officials. And that left parents, teachers, and supporters of the indigenous school believing there was simply a beef with it for being different. Ernesto Colin is a professor of urban education at Loyola Marymount University. He followed the fight over the school, and he's one of their strongest supporters.
You know, when you look at the successes of the school, the rigorous curriculum, the graduation rates, the holistic education, the parent involvement, the student outcomes, there has to be room in public education for uniquely designed schools.
Principal Aguilar agrees, and, wearing a traditional Aztec feathered headdress, defended his school to the local board.
We invoke the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples as we call on the Board of Education to recognize holistic academic excellence and the strong community roots Semillas represents, and we ask you to renew the charter of Anahuac-Almecac.
Students also went on the offense. They launched social media campaigns and street protests. Natalie Carrillo is a senior at the high school who led protests like the one ahead of the school's first appeal.
Stand with us as we defend our education. We will not let anyone block our road to college. Que viva Semillas!
But the school's opponents stood firm. Here's Doug Boyd, a board member at the LA County Office of Education.
It was all about finances. It's all about, as one of the people here said, transparency. And I'm glad to hear that there is such good transparency inside the school. The problem is there's very little or no transparency outside the school.
Eventually, the school appealed all the way to the California Department of Education, and they won. something that's only happened twice in the past 5 years when it comes to disputes involving charter school licenses.
Congratulations. Motion carries, unanimous.
After the ruling, board members like Carl Cohn, who supported the school throughout the ordeal, praised the unique education model.
This looks like a school that is making a difference in a very diverse state. We are a big state, and we ought to be able to handle some schools that are out of the box.
That's how you say, "My name is," in Nahuatl. It's a different sound, but one familiar to this community, and for them, worth fighting for, so it will continue on into the next generation. For The World, Naha Natoka Thipa Fernandez, Los Angeles.
And you can see photos from the Samia School at pri.org/language. And while you're there, here's something else to check out. It's a new series that we on The Big Show have been doing. It's called Safe Mode. We're taking a look at how millennials, who are, of course, digital natives, how they are dealing with security issues. Maybe how you are dealing with security issues. We've all heard the stories of how younger and older people have very different approaches to all kinds of things online, like, for example, their public profile on Facebook. Well, Safe Mode is that. At least that's the starting point. The stories we've been airing on this theme are, well, let me just list a couple of them. Like a digital superstar from Britain who outthinks hackers. That was one. Also, a digital activist from Turkey a year after all of those protests at Gezi Park. And also an actor who plays Edward Snowden or someone just like him on Russian TV. And then there's, drumroll for the language connection, there's the first foreign ambassador in Washington to have tweeted. It's the former Mexican ambassador to the U.S., Arturo Sarukhan. And here's something he learned early on in his tweeting days.
One of the first things that we figured out was that I started tweeting in English. And about a month, 3 weeks into this, I start getting tweets from people in Mexico who had started following the account and saying, you know, why the hell are you tweeting in English? And I sort of obvious response was, well, because I'm the Mexican ambassador to the U.S. If I'm going to communicate to Americans, I've got to do it in English. So that's why I'm doing it in English. And then suddenly I figured out, you know, that this could also be a tool to engage Mexicans in Mexico and to underscore what we were doing in the bilateral relationship. And very quickly, obviously, because of the 35 million Mexican Americans that live in the United States, that this was also a tool to engage and reach out to our diaspora community in the United States. So one of the first adjustments that we did was about 3 weeks in, I started tweeting everything bilingually. There were some that I would do just in English, just in Spanish, but most of them, and to this day, are bilingual.
Arturo Sarukhan, Mexican ambassador to the U.S. from 2007 till 2013. He started tweeting in 2009. More about him and more about our series at pri.org/safemode. Okay, that's it for this podcast. Thanks for listening. See you soon.
The World in Words is made possible in part by a major grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities. Exploring the Human Endeavor. The World in Words is also supported in part by PRI's New Voices Fund, bringing new perspectives and personalities to public media. Donors to the fund include Maureen and Michael Rutgers and the Sarah and Evan Williams Foundation.
Soundworks.
Soundworks.
From PRI.